I've been fighting to keep my sobrino since then. But my brother gets terco about it and keeps insisting on taking him back to the other side. What for, I tell him. Because he's Mexican, Rafa says. As if I'm not because I choose to live on this side. He's got to know his grandparents, meaning Jimena's folks. He's not going to become a gringo and forget who he is, my brother says of his only son. As if getting an education would erase the picture the boy keeps in his head of how his mother died. I stayed and worked here in Cavuche, first in the pecans and cotton. Because of marrying Junior, I got his army benefits. I could stay and not hide in the shadows no more. This meant no more picking, no more peeling chiles, no more canning. Instead, I got up my courage one year and signed up for night classes at the community college. I did pretty good in my classes. I really liked being in a classroom. I liked the desks and the smell of the chalk and erasers, the bulletin boards with messages about holidays like Valentine's Day and Martin Luther King's Day. So later, I got more courage and applied for a job as a teacher's aide in the middle school. That's how I bought my casita here on the mesa, where I can't see Los Franklins this morning. But I know they're out there, playing with me. Like giants, they take the sun and play with people's eyes, changing colors. Like shapeshifters, they change the way they look, too. They let the devoted climb up along their spines to crown them with white crosses and flowers and mementos. They give themselves that way, those guardians between the two countries. I do not know what Rafa is talking about, his son becoming a gringo. These lands, this unmerciful desert, it belonged to us first, the Mexicans. Before that, it belonged to Los Apaches. Los Apaches were mean, too. They knew how to defend themselves. And they're still not too happy about losing everything, despite the casinos up by their land. Keep right on going, they'll tell tourists when they try to pull over on the highway that cuts across it during dry season. Ha! I wish I could say that out here whenever some stupid hunter wanders near my property. It's just me and the barbed wire fence between the hunter and government land, where he can do what he pleases, all dressed up like he was in the National Guard. One day, we heard some shots. It wasn't even dawn yet, that Sunday. Winnie went nuts, the way healers do at the sign of something amiss. Gabo got up, pulling up his jeans, tripping on the hems of them, barefoot. What was that, Tia, he said, all apurado and the dog meanwhile barking, barking. This was before the accident, when she could practically see in the dark. I let her go out, and Winnie ran toward the fence that divides my property and BLM land. Hey, hey, was all my poor nephew called out. He always freezes up. I think he remembers his mother. Over in El Paso, people have asked me if I'm not afraid of the coyotes and rattlers living right next to the wide open spaces kept by the Bureau of Land Management. The worst snakes and coyotes, I always say, are the ones on two legs. People think that's funny. Hey, hey, Gabo called out again in the dark of the new day out there, with a little less conviction the second time. But La Winnie kept right on barking, barking. I went in the house and got my rifle. When I came out, I went up to the fence and pointed the rifle somewhere I couldn't see. What were they shooting anyway? We don't got any deer around here. You are way too close to my land, I yelled, like I was Barbara Stanwyck or Doña Barbara or somebody. And I took a shot that rang out like a 30-30. It must have woken up La Gente all the way in town. A little while after that, I heard jeeps taking off. We couldn't go back to sleep after that, so I made us some atole and put on the TV. I needed to fold up the laundry I'd left in the dryer anyway. Winnie didn't come in like she would have normally, ready to be fed. She stayed outside roaming the grounds.